Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Cody's Primetime Show, presented by AMP Radio. On tonight's show, we have Rodney James again of MMA Latest fame. Let me give his Twitter out real quick. It's at RodneyJames138. And of course, MMA Latest is at MMA Latest NWS. So Rodney is, if you remember, a couple of shows ago, Rodney reported for us from Bellator 161. And Rodney has had an interesting day today. He is not on the line yet, but we will get him eventually. And we will be talking everything that has happened in his day today, and because it's very exciting, and I can't wait to talk to him. But I wanted to go ahead and give out the call-in number. We will be taking calls. Well, I'll be taking calls. I don't know if Showtime from Tennessee or Dean from Georgia will be joining us this evening. Both of them have lives, and sometimes they can't make the show, and that's fine. But if you all want to call in, if you're listening, I know you Blog Talk people are listening, because we've been had you guys calling in the past two midweek shows. So the call-in number is 646-668-8160. What I'd like to talk about right now is just putting a bow on last weekend's UFC card, a fight night from Brasilia. First topic I would like to talk about is Cyborg. I brought this up on Monday on MMA Junkie Radio, and Ben Fulks, when he called in on the same show on Monday on MMA Junkie Radio, said the same thing. He said, you know, what are we doing with Cyborg? You know, what is to come for Cyborg? I mean, all we've seen from Cyborg, and Trojan Gove said to me, well, we're building stars. Well, we're not really building a star here, mate. You know, we're not really building a star when she's just going up against tomato cans and people we've never heard of, right? People who don't even fight at 145. You know, Lena Landsberg was listed at 145, but as it came out later and later, we heard that she's really a 135er. And that's what she's going to be fighting at in the UFC. So I really don't know what we're doing with Cyborg here, guys. I don't know if they were just waiting for Ronda Rousey to come around and want to fight again. And maybe they do the fight at 140. That would be the only thing that would make sense to me, for making Cyborg come down to 140 for a couple of fights. And I think we have Rodney James on. Let me just finish my point, Rodney, and I'll get right to you. I think that if that's the fight that we're building to on New Year's Eve, then I have no problem with that. If we're doing Ronda Cyborg at 140 on New Year's Eve, that would justify making Cyborg cut down. Anyways, let's get Rodney James on the phone. I believe this is him. Rodney, is this you?
Hey, what's up, brother? Yeah, this is Rodney. How you doing, man?
Rodney. I'm good. Rodney James coming at you live and direct from, where are you right now? You were in Austin, but you're now in San Antonio?
Yeah, just walked in the door, man. Literally just walked in the door, cracked open a beer. Yep, just got back off the road from Austin.
Cheers. I'll give you a big cheers because I have one right in front of me too. So, cheers.
Cheers.
I was telling, right on, getting roadshow ready, right? I was telling our audience that you've had a big day. As I was just saying, you've traveled all the way up to Austin, Texas. And do you want to give us a little bit of insight into what you were doing up there in Austin?
Sure, man. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So as we're all just starting to build up this buzz, you know, around this hype for UFC 205, the first the first ever New York City card, Madison Square Garden. In the last couple of days, the card just went from being what, you know, a lot of people were saying was mediocre or a good card, but not a great card, is now, you know, shaped up to be one of the most amazing cards we've ever seen. And of course, we're going to talk about that, but, I met up with one of the competitors, from that card. Is a guy by the name of, Tim Kennedy, who's going to be making his long awaited return to the Octagon against, you know, Rashad Evans, who's dropping down to middleweight, for the first time in his career. So, it was cool. It was cool, man. You know, anytime you get to go to the capital city of Texas, it's always a blessing. It's always fun. And you know what? It's weird. It's crazy that, you know, you and I spoke today about getting together on this podcast, man, because, you know, the last time we did was the last time I went to Austin, which was for Bellator 161.
Yeah.
And I just happened to make arrangements to go up there today to meet up with him. So yeah, we chatted up a lot and got a lot of good footage. But if you have any questions, let me know, and I'll tell you kind of, I'll give you the background of, you know, why we were up there. I was there with a couple other folks.
Yeah, no, I we will get to that. I did mention it to the audience already that, you know, the last time we spoke to you was at when we had when you were covering Bellator 161, and I mentioned, well, I didn't mention your article about Chuck Congo, which was also awesome that you put out afterwards after the event. But yeah, Tim Kennedy, let's talk about that for a second. Yeah, cheers.
Sure,
good.
Sure.
It was a great article.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, it was a cool experience, man, doing the Bellator 161, man. We got to, you know, go backstage for a little media scrum right after. The only main eventer that won that wasn't there was Anastasia. Of course, you know,
right.
Her face was pretty battered, so I guess she didn't want to. Which that was kind of a bummer, but you know, it is what it is. Everybody else that we got to speak with, and yeah, man, it was cool. You know, it was cool that Chuck Congo and Joe Warren showed me some love too, because you know, I took some good photos, couple short videos, and wrote up a little something on each of those guys and their fights, and they both, you know, retweeted it to their audiences, which is far more followers than I have. So that's always cool.
Indeed, it is,
yeah,
right?
Shifting gears. Let me give you the backstory. So I met Tim Kennedy a few years ago, about 3 years ago. I don't know if you remember. They did a UFC fight for the troops at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and I was on active
yep.
duty at the time. I was stationed at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri. But through, I guess, just some mutual people that I know, you know, guys that have, you know, that have trained with Colton Smith and Tim Kennedy. And that I fought in like Bellator or UFC that I just happened to know like through the grapevine. I basically just kind of reached out to these guys, you know, and interviewed both of them over the phone. That was my first acquaintance, you know, with Tim. Today is actually, I've interviewed him three times previously over the phone.
Yeah.
And this will be the first time I've ever actually, you know, met up with him face to face. So it was kind of a dual purpose. A couple of months ago, Matt Brown was here in San Antonio. He was here for Rev Gear, was sponsoring an event. It was an expo of sorts for different equipment and different fitness things of that nature. And Matt Brown was there to promote his brand, Immortal Combat Equipment.
Right.
If you're not familiar, it's on, you know, it's just, you could search Immortal Combat Equipment. It's pretty cool. He's got a lot of, you know, good products, like, you know, strength conditioning products that he's developed and designed
mm-hmm.
and that he's, you know, marketing. Anyways, he was down there promoting that. And I had previously interviewed Matt, probably just a few weeks before that. Actually, no, you know what? I take that back. It was, I interviewed him a few weeks before he fought Damian Maya. And so I kind of had a little bit
right.
of networking there with him. So I figured, you know, hey, I'll go just stop by the expo and say hi and everything. And that would be that. Well, I ended up, you know, just hanging out for a while. And, you know, he demoed all the products, like, for a small group. And you know, we got to hang out with him and chat with him and this and that. And I met a guy that does all of the video and all the photography and the websites for Immortal Kombat equipment. This guy named Trent, man, he's a really, really good photographer, really good videographer. And he's always into something, man. And so he's also working with this guy out of Dallas named Wes Elliott. And he's got this company called Strike Tech Wearables. And what Strike Tech is, it's this technology that it's like a chip, you know, it's a little chip, it's coated, you know, with some sort of composite or like rubber, and a fighter will put it in their hand wrap, you know, and then, you know, lace up the boxing gloves, and there's an app, and it registers everything. It registers like the speed, you know, the force of the punches, like, you know, it counts all the punches. It's really, really intuitive, really intricate, man. It's an awesome technology, and this guy developed it, and he's, you know, a few months ago, just before the Cleveland card, they went up and you know, they got footage with Stipe working with it, Jessica Eye. They've had several, you know, boxers, pro boxers, UFC fighters, tons of folks, you know, working with it. So, and I was talking to Trent, you know, and he's based out of Austin, and I said, hey, man, you know, we should hit up Tim Kennedy, see if he's interested. And we did, and he was. So that's kind of how that ball got rolling. This was just last week. And, you know, Tim was interested to check it out. His coach was as well. So we went and we just linked up with him for his, you know, striking session that he had for the evening lined up today at Brazilian Fight Factory up in Austin. So it was cool, man. I got a lot of good footage. You know, the guys from Strike Tech got a lot of footage. He tried out the equipment. You know, it was really cool. And then afterwards, I got to chat with him. And I'll be releasing a you know, a full video. I think people are gonna like it, man. It's really cool. Tim Kennedy's a character. You know, you never, it's never a dull moment with him. He never holds back. You know, he's never one to shy away from, you know, just saying whatever's on his mind. And it's always interesting. So it was a good time.
And if our listeners want to check out Immortal Kombat Equipment, they are on Facebook, and you can just literally type in exactly what I just said, Immortal Kombat Equipment, and there's a bunch of videos that come up looking very fantastic. Anyways, I was looking at your Twitter earlier on, and I saw the picture of you and Tim Kennedy, and he looks, you know, he looks like he's doing well. And what I wanted to say is, I am a big Tim Kennedy fan, and I was upset with Tim having such a long layoff, to be honest with you. And I'm so glad to see him finally book a fight, and against Rashad Evans, as you said, who was coming down in weight. Which would be a good fight, right? I mean, we can only hope it's going to be a good fight, but it's two good competitors going up against each other. And did Tim say anything regarding his upcoming fight when you were with him at all?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, regarding the long layoff, I know part of that is because, you know, he still serves in the National Guard and Special Forces. And so he has to, I know he deployed this year, and also, you know, he was doing that TV show down in South America and stuff like that. But yeah, man, he's eager to get back in there. It's funny. I asked him point blank. I said, you know, I said, last time that I spoke with you, he told me exactly, you know, who he wanted to fight. He said that his preferred next opponents that, you know, because like you said, he had a really long layoff, and, you know, at one point he was offered Machida, but then he had to deploy to, I think, Afghanistan or maybe somewhere that he can't tell us about, but whatever the case, he had to deploy, so he wasn't able to do that fight. But he told me that he was interested in Anderson Silva or Vitor Belfort at that time, both of whom have fought since, you know, and neither of which have won since. So, you know, it wouldn't have been really the best move for him to fight either one of those guys. So I told him, I said, man, this is kind of a weird matchup. I got to be honest. It sort of came out of nowhere. I really didn't expect to hear. And you know, I wasn't sure. I know that both of them have spent time at Greg Jackson's camp, which Tim is getting ready to head out there, I think, next week, he said. If I recall, he's finishing up his camp in Austin, but then he's going to go do the last, like, the rest of his camp at Greg Jackson's in Albuquerque. And, you know, of course, Rashad used to be there before he had the big falling out with John Jones. And so he said, you know, Rashad actually asked, he said he wanted to drop to 185, and he asked for the fight with Tim Kizzy. And I said, man, that's kind of weird. And, you know, didn't y'all train together at Greg Jackson's at some point? And he said, yeah, we did. And so I, you know, I thought, well, was there some kind of animosity, or like, I mean, are your buddies? Or, and he was like, no, man. He's like, I got nothing but respect for the guy. There's no animosity. We actually were, you know, we did train together, and we, you know, we were buddies and this and that. But of course it's business. And so he's excited. And, you know, to be on that card, you could just tell, man, like you said, he just from the photo, yeah, it really captures the essence, man. I mean, I can't wait to share this video and write about the experience and let people read it and watch the video, because, yeah, he's just a rejuvenated, he's got his spark back, you know, his desire to compete. I still think that the relationship with him and the UFC is a bit awkward. I don't know if that changes with the new ownership, but it's a bit telling that he just sort of burst back into the scene after, you know, after the big sale. But I did ask him straight up, you know, because like I said, he's not afraid to shy away from anything. So I said, you know, I said, how is your relationship with UFC? I said, I get the feeling sometimes that Dana White, you know, doesn't like you or something, because, you know, you're too outspoken. You know, he assured me that that's not the case, you know, that he's not afraid to say what's on his mind, what most people, you know, are saying anyway behind the scenes, you know. And that's also telling, you know what I mean? He said that a lot of guys say the kind of things that he says, but Tim is just not afraid to say them in public. And when you look at a guy who's got a full-time job with the military and with all these other things that he's doing, he's kind of in a rarefied air. Whereas a lot of guys, you know, the UFC is their career. It's their be all end all. It's how they earn their living. It's their only way to earn their living, you know?
Correct.
But you're starting to see other guys like the Matt Browns, you know, like the people like that are just sort of branching out, guys that are doing podcasts, things like that.
So let's go ahead, Rodney. Before we get, I'm going to go more into your interview and Hunting Hitler. I want to talk about Hunting Hitler because I enjoyed that show immensely. But let's talk about where all your footage is going to come out at. Is it going to come out on MMA Latest?
Yeah, so it'll be out on MMA Latest, and you know, I do have a YouTube channel, and I've actually been I've neglected it a bit lately. It actually started out just being sort of military content. That's where I get most of my views, it's from the military content. But since I'm, you know, back in the reserves and not on active duty, I obviously, you know, don't spend as much time doing military, so I don't film it as much. But it's going to be my handle is the same on all social media. It's going to be Rodney James 138. That's my YouTube channel, so you can check it out there. Also, you can check out tons of other interviews that I've done with, you know, various UFC and Bellator fighters over the last few years. And yes, MMA Latest will definitely have some content coming out soon on this. And it's, you know what, I'm so privileged, man, because, like I said, you know, UFC 205 is on fire right now, man. Everybody's buzzing with this.
Yeah.
I'm sure you saw the press conference. Everybody's talking about it. I asked him about that too. I said, you know, what's up with that, man? You know, I didn't see you there. But I think what they had was just the main card pay-per-view fighters there, I guess.
Yeah, again, they did.
If that's who that was, and there's going to be a lot of cards on the actual pay-per-view broadcast. I'm assuming, though, just looking at the poster and looking at the fact that the last here, let me pull the poster up, because Tim Kennedy and Rashad weren't there, and that's my point. And I asked him
about exactly
that, and he said, you know, and he was like, he's like, I wasn't about to break away from my camp to go do that. So I just don't think that they were needed there necessarily, because as you saw, the stage was packed.
It was like a two level dais. But Rodney, before we get into 205, Have you talked to Tim Kennedy about the show that he did? I think it was for Discovery, was it not? Called Hunting Hitler. Have you got any information about that? Because I watched that show and I enjoyed it immensely. Have you talked to him about that at all?
Oh man, no. I you know what? Yeah. Next time, if I'm ever, you know, if it's ever on your radar that I'm going to be speaking with somebody, and I'll let you know like ahead of time. I'll start tweeting out because, like, you know, pretty much every Bellator event that rolls around, you know, I always get, you know, maybe one or two folks off of that card that I get to speak with. So I'll start letting you know ahead of time. Cause yeah, I guess in hindsight, it probably would have been good to ask people if they had questions. But no, you know what? I got rid of cable because, you know, I have an Apple TV and I just really watch Netflix and you know, Fight Pass. So
yes,
I didn't watch the show, man. How was it?
you know what? It was actually really, really interesting. It was really interesting. And Showtime, I see you. Just please stay in the queue. We're just going to finish up our conversation and we'll get you into our 205 conversation, which we're going into in just a second. Yeah, I watched it. It was really interesting. I don't know, you know, it's on TV, right? So you don't know what's what and what's true and what's not, but he had spoken about it on, I believe it was Junkie. He spoke on it about what the show was about. And it really did kind of, you know, illuminate some kind of other ways of thinking about what may have happened at the end of World War II. And I thought Tim was really good in the show. And if anybody hasn't seen it, I recommend searching for it. It's called Hunting Hitler. And I think it was on Discovery. Okay, let's just go ahead and bring in Rodney James, if you don't mind. I'm going to go ahead and give out your Twitter again. It's at RodneyJames138. I think what we're going to do right now is just bring Showtime from Tennessee in, and then if we can, we can have a little bit of a round table about UFC 205 in the presser. Is that okay with you, Rodney?
Yeah, sounds awesome, brother.
Okay. Is this Showtime from Tennessee?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up,
there
Showtime?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sound like I'm coming in on an interesting conversation, just a little bit that I was listening to.
Yeah,
yeah
man.
Yeah,
hey,
no,
it's good to hear from you,
about,
man.
We've been talking about Rodney James. He's got a new story coming out about Tim Kennedy. He's got a couple of videos coming out, and it seems like it's going to be some really cool content coming out on MMA Latest in the future. Keep posted on Rodney James at Rodney James 138. Go ahead, Rodney.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug, man. And you know, just as I was wrapping up, you know, what I was saying about, you know, 205. Yeah, it's just, it's an honor and a privilege, you know, like I said, to be able to just go and grab some exclusive, you know, content with somebody at a high level in the UFC, man. And the fact that he's gracious enough to allow us to come in the gym and film him and speak with him, it's just really cool, man, because I can tell you a lot of fighters, even like lower level, like guys that are not even close to his level, you know, a lot of times you got to go through their management or you have to deal with all this, you know, kind of bullshit. And it's cool to see guys like him and like Wonder Boy and Matt Brown, you know, guys that I've reached out to in the past have been very approachable, very accommodating. So I was glad I was
really
fortunate
awesome.
To grab that content.
Yeah. And Showtime. Let's go ahead and segue into 205. We saw the presser come out just this week, and there were some fireworks. Showtime, did you catch that presser at all?
You know what? I vaguely, you know, saw some guys talking about it, but I actually didn't see it.
Yeah.
I tell you, I wasn't feeling too well today, so I'm really just getting up and kind of catching up on everything that was going on, but That main event is going to be fireworks. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, we were talking about it on Sunday's show, and Rodney, what about the Eddie versus Connor kind of conflict that we saw at the presser? What did you think about it?
Oh man, that whole thing was so damn entertaining, man. I got home, I strapped my son into the high chair and gave him a snack and a bottle, man, and I fired up that freaking Fight Pass, man, on the main TV in the living room. And,
yeah.
And of course, once the F-bomb started flying, you know, my wife was getting pissed, man, because the baby is right there. I'm like, you know, he's not paying attention. He doesn't even know what the hell to do. they're talking about. But, man, it was so good, man. And Showtime, man, if you get a chance, if you got Fight Pass, pull up that presser. Or, hell, you can probably find it just about anywhere. I bet it's on YouTube by now. But, man, it was vintage Conor. And you know something, man? This fight just came out of nowhere. I mean, it's been rumored, you know, and some purists are upset about the, you know, Jose Aldo situation. I get it, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to just seeing, you know, Conor try to make history. But, you know, at the same time, man, I really don't know who wins this fight. I can't tell you that Conor with all certainty wins, or Eddie with all certainty. I mean, because they're both so good, man. I'm just, dude, talk about fireworks, man. That is just a clash of titans. Little titans, but titans nonetheless.
Yeah, and Eddie kind of took a jab at Conor when he said, yeah, look at that little guy belt. Look at that little guy belt. I thought that was
amazing. He got a good one in there. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Hey, yeah, good.
You know what, fellas?
What do you think?
You know what? I'm lying a little bit. I saw a portion of it. I didn't see the whole part. I saw the part when Jeremy Stephens, you know, made the comment.
Yeah.
And Conor was like, you know, who the hell is this guy now? Because I didn't. I was actually working, so I didn't get a chance to catch it from the beginning. So I pretty much got it. Pretty much around the time when Jeremy, you know, blurted out that he was the toughest guy, and Conor came, and I started watching it at that point. So, I saw the square off, and I kind of, it was interesting. I was, I wanted to see how Joanna would react, but she was really kind of laid back. I think this may be because she's fighting one of her fellow girls, so she didn't really, she didn't duck down and put her head. But I mean, the whole entire card, man, is really just amazing. I mean, from Fight Pass, I'm wondering how they're gonna line it up, pretty much with the Fight Pass.
Okay.
Who's gonna open it up? I mean, cause it's crazy.
Showtime.
You got guys getting headline stuff that's gonna be on Fight Pass.
You're getting way ahead of it. Let's slow down a second. Slow down a second, Showtime. I know you're getting excited.
I'm excited.
I know.
I can't believe I gotta wait this long.
I know.
A month and a half.
Showtime, let's get into an early prediction, because we got one from Rodney, and he's kind of sitting on the fence. What about yourself, Showtime? What do you think? Early odds. I think Conor is a slight underdog at the moment, but what do you got going on? What do you think? Early prediction.
Eddie is gonna grind him out and wear him out and beat him. You know, I can see this going really just being an ugly fight for Conor. I mean, because Eddie has that just grinded out Philly style where he's just going to grind him and lean on him and wear on him. And he's going to do what he's going to take the fight to the ground and pound Conor. That's what I think. He'll just, you know, kind of how he did Pettis. I can just see him leaning on him and just making Conor have to work to kind of get him off of him. And, you know, that's how I think. I think it'll just he'll wear Conor out at some point. You know, he may even stop Conor, you know, by ground and pound or something.
Yeah.
That's how I see it going, to be honest.
Okay, so
you know what? Can I just caveat on that real quick? Yeah, Showtime. So I think when I spoke with Cofield and RJ Clifford the other day, I think you called them right. They picked up on you right after I heard you on there too, right after me. And
on Junkie? Is it
on
the Junkie show? MMA Junkie?
It's on Fight Club with RJ Clifford and Stephen Cofield.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Also on Sirius. Yeah. Yep. So anyway, we were just talking about that. We actually both were just sharing our thoughts on that matchup when Showtime and I had called in, respectively. And yeah, man, I mean, I'm kind of, that's the same thing. I'm looking at Conor going, look, you know, where have we seen him struggle? It's with a durable, you know, a durable fighter, man, like Nate Diaz. You know, he hit Nate Diaz with everything, man. Yeah. The second fight, man, he hit him with shots that should have knocked most guys out, man, just put him on his ass. And it wasn't, you know, some people were saying, well, he might have been flopping to pull guard. No, that Joker got hit hard, man. And you know what? Eddie, this is the guy who fought Melendez to the distance in a war when his eyeball was freaking the size of a baseball and swollen shut. And he won.
Yeah.
And he did the exact same thing against Pettis that Showtime is predicting here, you know, which is another flashy striker in Conor McGregor. He just stifled him. You know, he just, you get a hold of somebody, clinch him, and you can control him. It's very taxing on their energy. They lose their explosive power to throw those knockout strikes, and it just wears you down, man. So, yeah, I'm worried about Conor on this one, man. I think stylistically, if he doesn't take him out early, it could be a long night for him, and it could go Eddie's way.
Yeah, I agree, guys. I mean, this could go either way, man. And what it reminds me of is back when Conor fought Mendez, but Mendez was brought in on very short notice, and I think that affected his cardio. It affected how he could prepare for the fight, obviously. And Eddie's going to have a full camp, right? Eddie's going to have a full camp to prepare for this. And like you said, Rodney, this fight was made really the last hour, right? They were announcing the fight had happened, and then, like, what, 12 hours later, they were in New York on the presser. And so let's get back to the presser since I mentioned it. It seemed like there was a big pro-Conor crowd, but I thought that Eddie really handled Conor very, very well in that he didn't seem to back down. They're both speaking English. It's not being filtered through someone else. So the banter can go back and forth very fast. And I thought that Eddie, like I said, handled the Conor barrage fairly well. And we'll talk about Joe Stevens later, but let's talk about right how how Eddie handled Conor. Rodney, go first, please.
Oh, yeah, he did. He had his moments, but I definitely think that I could see the frustration building in him, kind of like maybe not as bad as like RDA, where you know the cat just had his tongue, but he definitely he's a tough Philly kid from the streets, you know, and and he's been talking a lot of crap too in his own right in other. In other mediums, you know, through print medium and through
sure
I heard
does.
Him on there's a soundbite that I heard on another radio show where he's saying, oh, Conor's, you know, he's not a good fighter, you know, he's an easy opponent, which he was telling him at the press conference. If Eddie really believes that, he is on crack. There is no way in hell that Conor is not a good fighter. Every single time he fights, there are more and more people that actually get on board with the fact that he's the real deal. I can't believe there's anybody that's still left on the other side of that fence, but
yeah.
I just find it hard to believe. Maybe I'm just marking out here and maybe Eddie just has me fooled, but yeah, chances are he's probably just doing that to get under Conor's skin. Although Conor just doesn't seem all that bothered by it. Doesn't seem to get
right,
to him.
Right. So Showtime, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the showmanship here, because clearly there's some serious showmanship on display, and that's important, right? Showtime, it's important to sell the fight, but you know we all know that eventually they're going to have to get into a cage in November, strip to the waist, and fight one another. But it's still important, right, Showtime?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, other than probably Money Mayweather, who can sell something better than Conor? You know, you can't.
Right.
One thing about the press conference, it's hard to win the press conference against Conor. It's just hard to do that. I think
right. He's
out of all the guys,
he's just gonna talk over you, right?
Yeah. I mean that's his thing. You know, that's his thing. Other than fighting the Diaz that really just don't care. You know, that don't give. He gonna just drop the F bombs. You know, that's the only person that I think may have won a press conference against Conor because Conor couldn't get to him, and Conor knew that. But I think Eddie is seasoned enough and been in the game long enough that he knows he can't win the press conference against Conor, so he was just laid back. And And I agree with what you said, too, one of your other points about it was a pro Conor crowd, and I was kind of – that was interesting by Eddie being, you know, a Philly guy, not too far from there. But I think he did good with that. I'm just ready for him to get in the ring and square off. But I'm going to make this point, too.
Yeah.
The guy that Conor had problems with was a smaller guy and had a short camp, but he had that wrestling base, and that's kind of why everybody wanted to see Frankie Edgar fight him because they felt like he could take him down.
Right.
So we talking about a bigger, stronger, nastier guy. So I don't think it's going to – I think it's going to be ugly. Yeah, for real. I think it's going to end ugly.
And you know what I thought was impressive, or what I thought was interesting, was that, yes, he's from Philly, but he's not from New York. And there are a lot of Irish in New York, Rodney, right? There are a lot of Irish in New York, and we saw them turn out for this press conference, did we not?
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, it was, you know, and Connor was on, he was just on fire, as always. Like I said, you know, vintage, you know, the the Ric Flair of UFC, right? He was just, he was just styling, profiling. He was like, the Irish, we built this city. You know, we're back, you know. So, yeah, and
yeah.
It was just, I expected way more of support for Eddie being the Philly guy, man. But no love,
right.
Man, no love for him. But then again, New York and Philly kind of beef with each other, especially with
exactly.
Sports teams. So maybe there's a little of that, too.
Yeah, that's how I saw it. I was really kind of, and you could see it in Eddie's eyes. He's kind of throwing up the I'm number one, you know, right after they had that stare down. And I thought in the stare down, it was really interesting that Eddie kind of fed back into Connor's bullshit face, you know, his I'm coming at you, war face. And Eddie kind of made fun of it. And then he turned around to the crowd and he was like, I'm number one. And then Connor turned around to the crowd and everybody just cheered for Connor. And you could see on Eddie's face, he's like, oh, that's not good. So I thought that was really, really interesting. There's some other news that has come out of this fight having happened and having been put together. First of all, we have Jose Aldo requesting his release from the UFC, saying that he's willing to, you know, not only he's willing to take it to court if need be, because he wants to move on. And in my opinion, I kind of see where he's coming from. I kind of see that. Let me just back up a bit. And Jose had mentioned also in a statement he put out that the UFC never did anything for him. Never at Zuffa, especially because of the WEC and his UFC days, that he built himself. He never really got any big push. He never got anything from the UFC, and now he wants to move on and do other things. What do we think about this, Showtime? What do we think? Do you think this is just a ploy to get the upper hand and get a good fight or get Conor McGregor in his next fight? Or do you think this is Jose really trying to duck out of the sport?
I mean, I feel with Jose 100%, man. What other sport can a guy win
right.
a belt and go fight in other weight classes and not defend that belt? I mean, I hear people talk about
right.
Conor cleaned out the 145. I mean, shit, he hadn't even defended the belt yet. He fought a couple guys and beat some guys on his way to winning. Somebody made a real good point today that stuck with me. If let's put this in a role reversal. What if Conor would have been the champion and Jose beat him? Everybody would have been screaming for a rematch, you know, and it's almost like this is the WWE aspect of this, of everybody want these hyped up fights. In the NFL, the champion, you know, you win the championship, you can't just play a game because a team is important or they may sell more merchandise or fill a stadium.
Right.
You know, that's the part that a lot of people don't like about MMA, you know, all this jumping and the fan. We really can make, we can get in Dana's head and a lot of people say something, Dana just to do it. You know, I just think Conor needs to defend the belt. If they're going to screw the man like that, just release him. That'd be the good thing to do. Release him and let him go somewhere else.
Yeah.
He'll go somewhere else. Somebody will set Jose up and pay him and treat him right. I just don't like how they treat him. This guy ran this division for 10 years, ran the division, and we don't give him no respect. I was really pissed by it. Now I feel Jose. Release him. Dana, release him. I mean, you don't want to give him a chance to fight the guy again. Just release him. Or take the belt from Conor. One or the other.
Rodney?
You know, I can't really speak too much about the implications or what it means or any of that, you know, any that's gone on behind the scenes, you know, so to speak, that we don't know about. I just know how it makes me feel. You know, it makes me feel sad. You know, it bugs
right.
me out. It makes me, I just hope that it's just emotions flaring and that they can somehow come to a resolution. You know, I really do, man. Because yeah, he definitely, there was definitely an element of him being hung out to dry. And yeah, the division is held up a bit at this point. I think now that the Eddie versus Connor match has been booked, I think the damage is done. And so, you know, if he relinquishes the belt at this moment, it doesn't do anything, because there's no way that Jose or any other featherweight for that matter would be able to, you know, would be able to fight between now and then. I think what Jose was, you know, holding out for, and in all fairness, because he's the interim champion. And so with the interim champion, a lot of people hate, you know, the interim championship, but I don't, because what I think of it is it's kind of like how guys get promised a title shot. Or like Misha, you know, and then they end up getting passed over and screwed over and not getting that shot when they were promised it. But you know what? When you have that interim belt, that is like a guarantee. That's like a lock. That's like saying you are the guy. If the champ is not available, you are the champ. You don't go around necessarily defending the interim belt, you know, the next fight that you have. So, yeah, I mean, it puts them on the shelf and it makes them have to wait. And to Showtime's point, you know, it's like from a competitive standpoint, that's the fight that would make sense. I mean, the immediate rematch at the time wouldn't have made sense because he got beaten so quickly. But the fact that he came back from that, he beat Frankie Edgar worse than he
beat
the first time, you know, you go, hey, you know what? This is the guy. He's earned his way back in there. But, you know, yeah, by that logic, you know, if the NFL followed that logic, Showtime, you know, my Dallas Cowboys would be the Super Bowl champs every year, because, you know, they make the most money, but they obviously don't win all the games that count. So, you know, it is what
okay.
it is. I'm not mad at this fight, though.
Yeah, okay. No, me neither. But, guys, let's talk about Connor not defending his or having not defended his title at 145 yet. We've heard for years and years and years that you're not the champ until you defend the title. And we hear that Connor is, you know, a big proponent of MMA. And even when he says, you know, at press conferences, like he did at this particular press conference, that, you know, commenting on Eddie Alvarez's contract and how it's not good enough. I think that, you know, he does have other fighters' interests at heart, but if he doesn't defend this 145 title and he manages to win the 155 title, should we not, because we know he's not going to go back there and defend that 145. He's just not. He's just too big right now. And I think Chuck Mendenhall on the post-presser video that he did with Ariel mentioned how big Connor looked at the presser in regards to Eddie Alvarez. And so if he does not defend that title, do we need to put an asterisk beside that 145 title and say that he's not really the champion of 145 because he didn't defend it, Rodney?
Well, I've never really believed in that, you know, that you're not the champ until you defend. I mean,
fair
you
enough.
Win the belt, you're the champ.
Right.
But I definitely, yeah, it is such an unprecedented situation, man. You know, I said it from the very beginning. I'm sure both of y'all were in the Junkie Nation conversation, as we always are, you know, week after week. When Nate Diaz was announced, or even before he was announced, when it was announced that RDA dropped out of the title fight that Connor was supposed to have with him the first time. So it's such a weird, unprecedented situation, and it is all driven by fan interest and money, of course, because, I mean, think about it. You know, he got beat by Nate Diaz way worse than he beat Nate Diaz, but yet Nate Diaz didn't get any title shot at the lightweight belt, but Connor sure did. So, but yeah, I mean, after this fight is over, win or lose, I don't care how big he is. We know that he has the ability to make 145. He needs to get back down there, and he needs to defend that belt. And hopefully Jose stays around and that fight happens.
Showtime, do you want to comment?
Yeah. I just think a lot of stuff, what they're doing, is like a slap in the face to some of the other fighters. And I can see why a guy like Jose is so pissed. Like, it's almost like Conor is running the UFC. You know, anything Conor wants, he gets it at some point in time. Even, you know, even with them pulling Conor from that card, Conor still ended up winning because he got, you know, he still got to get the rematch, make a lot of money. You got guys fighting for crumbs. And, you know, Conor is basically mocking Eddie Alvarez with, you know, with what he's getting paid. And don't get it wrong. I may sound like I don't like Conor. I like Conor, but I like fairness as well. And it's just not. Not sure, you know. I feel sorry for Jose. Seriously, man, my heart goes out to the guy because it's like he gets no respect, none.
So, somebody's getting a call.
So, no. That was my alarm clock, man.
Oh, you got to get up now. Got to get up. You made me lose my question there. Sorry. So let's move on to Holloway, okay? Holloway has been reacting to all those requests for release, saying, you know, he's just, I think some of his words was pussy. Okay. If Conor's not going to come back to 45, that fight to make, right? Jose versus Holloway for the interim belt. And as you said, Rodney, you know, we don't really defend the interim belt unless you're I can't remember his name right now.
If the champ is out, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, right. I mean, when have we ever seen a guy win an interim belt and then fight another fight, you know, and defend that belt? I mean, it makes no sense. Does the guy who wins, if somebody takes it, does he now become the interim champ? It's just a weird thing.
Yeah, it is a very weird thing. And so, okay, so let's talk about Holloway. Let's talk about him reacting. You know, he has every right to say something about this, right? He has every right to protest the guy who's got the interim belt wanting to retire. And the guy who's got the interim belt wants to retire because he's got leverage, because he's got the interim belt. And Conor is just fighting fights that he wants to fight. So clearly everybody has an argument against what's happening, right? Against Conor just having that 45 belt and just owning it. And the argument against that is that, you know, Conor's only had it for less than a year. He's fought, what, three times now? Two times.
Will be.
And he won.
It'll
be three times. Yeah, it'll be three times before he's even defended the belt. But it hasn't been a year yet. So we give him a little bit leeway there. But if he wins both titles, he's going to have to give up that 45 belt because he's never going back down there again. Right. So what's the plight of Holloway in this battle, Rodney? Tell us about what Holloway has here.
Well, I would even take a step back, you know, there, and I'm just kind of curious as to how, not that I don't like the matchup, but and again, like you said, we'll talk about Jeremy Stephens because that's definitely that's definitely worth discussing. But how did he get into the bout? I mean, maybe it's on Max Holloway's management. He was offered Edgar and didn't want it, or maybe Edgar was offered and it was the other way around. I don't know. But to me, that was just and to everybody that I've heard talk about this or spoken to about this, that just seemed like the natural fight was Holloway and Edgar. I mean, I thought that was going to be the fight that we saw for each of those opponents. I thought they would face each other, but that doesn't appear to be the case. So Holloway is just sort of left completely out of the mix because who is there really for him at the moment? I mean, the only guy that comes to mind that's eligible, because, you know, Mendez is out on USADA, and at the top, Ricardo Lamas, but he's already got a borderline freak show fight, you know, booked with BJ Penn.
Yep.
Which, I mean, BJ's a legend, man. But I mean, he's kind of in the he's reminding me of, you know, the late stages of Chuck Liddell's career. It's like, why are you doing this? Why are you coming back? You know, you don't need to do it. It's not it's not gonna be good. So. But for Holloway to go on his tirade publicly like that and kick a man while he's down, I think, I mean, Jose Aldo, man, I mean, you even had Patricio Friar from Bellator, you know, trolling him on Twitter,
yeah,
making fake posters. Yeah. And it's like, leave the guy alone, give him a space. But, you know, it goes back to my earlier point, though. It's like I said, neither one of those guys, you know, when they announced that, hey, Conor's fighting at, you know, he's fighting at UFC 205. He's fighting Eddie Alvarez. Neither one of those guys had fights booked. So they clearly were putting all their eggs in one basket and just hoping for the dream fight that they really wanted. So, but Holloway, if he thought it was going to be Jose Aldo, was wishful thinking, because like I said, Jose Aldo has no incentive to take that fight. It makes no sense. Yeah. And of course, Jose Aldo was holding out for the fight that he really, in all honesty, probably deserved, which is Conor.
Right. Showtime?
Yeah. I guess Max trying to awaken the sleeping bear or the sleeping giant is what he's going to do if he keeps running his mouth. Because I can see that fight going of Jose just murdering him. Just, you know,
that
that's how that would go. But, it all comes back down.
I mean, it could go that way, right?
Conor hasn't defended this belt, man. In boxing is corrupt as hell. But they don't let a guy make three other fights without defending that belt. They just don't do that. I mean, that's the fun. That's what – this is why we love MMA, because of the stuff that they do with just giving us these crazy fights. But at the same time, it's almost like – I don't know. It's like Conor basically running the show. He's calling the fights. I want to fight this guy. I want to fight this guy. And Dana and them keep giving him the fights. We know Conor is your money guy. But at the same time, you got to find a balance. You know, Conor and Ronda makes a lot of money. But you got to find a balance where you don't have the other people on the roster just feeling like they just getting shoved away. I mean, if it was a union, it would probably be an issue with that. But it's not.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just got to take the fight, and I don't know. I just think Conor's going to get beat, and then I don't know if he'll still probably try to find a way to hold the belt up. That's really selfish of Conor, man. That's really selfish as hell, but, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, Rodney, are you okay with on time? Because I know we promised you 30 minutes, and we're at that point. Do you want to get out, or are you okay for time?
Nah, man, I'm feeling good, man. I'm sipping on some beer, and I'm just actually editing some of these photos that I took, so I'm chilling.
As long as you're feeling good, can we continue?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I want to ask you about one more quick question before we move on to Jeremy Stephens, because we need to talk about him. But we're seeing a lot more fighters speaking out against the UFC after the sale. And I saw something come up recently, Rodney, you know, that spoke to, you know, the reign of the Fertittas and, you know, how people were afraid to speak up before then. And we're really starting to see this movement towards a union or a fighters association really picking up speed. And I assume that they are trying to get ballots kicked off and signed right now in support of the union. Ariel Helwani says that we are in a new age. We're in a new age of, MMA, and we're moving into another age. What's your opinion, Rodney? What do you see happening moving forward? And Showtime brought up the union, and I'm a big proponent, a big supporter of the union as well. What say you, Rodney?
Yeah, man. It goes back to what I was saying about Jose Aldo, and I was speaking with Gorgeous George and Goes on the air just a couple days ago about the fact that Al Iaquinta Alaquinta. Yep. However the hell you say his damn name. I can never say it right.
I think it's Alaquinta.
There you go. Perfect. Hey, yeah, it really makes me sad, man. It bums me out. You know, the fact that here's a guy. I mean, Chris Lieben is going to a new career in selling real estate. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a guy who has a freaking highlight reel of some of the most amazing knockouts in the UFC. He fought how many times? Dozens of times in the UFC. That's the wrong answer. You know, and we know damn good and well, and now that it's all out in the open, of course, with the sale, I mean, to put it into perspective is almost really hard to do for us regular working class schmucks. You know, $4 billion is an insane amount of money. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely somebody's got to step in. There's got to be something, an arbitrary body that can come in and sort of represent these guys, and not the type, when I say arbitrary, one that doesn't have their own interests in mind, like a lot of scumbag managers and lawyers and different you know, promoters, people who snake oil salesmen who give the appearance that they're actually trying to help the person when they're really trying to exploit them. But I'm not privy to the information that you were talking about that you heard about the Fertittas in particular. Was that, were you referring to Helwani's comments, or was it something else?
Yeah, no, I would just kind of trying to weigh the two, because as soon as we heard about the sale, as soon as we heard the number, as we heard all of this, all of a sudden, everybody wanted to speak up. Not everybody, but we heard rumblings, and it's become like a snowball effect. It's just growing and growing and growing and growing. I don't have any evidence. I haven't talked to anybody. I'm not on the inside, as Rick Budo used to say, rest in peace, brother. I don't have any information, but from what I'm seeing from the outside as a hardcore or a junkie, I see that, you know, people are more willing to speak out now. You know, the Fertittas are not around. They're not giving out the bonuses, maybe, perhaps, that they usually used to give out. We've heard this happen. We've heard this in the news that, you know, these bonuses aren't coming out anymore. And we're really, you know, just working on the Reebok money. And just to speak out on the Reebok money, Landsberg and Cyborg, together combined made $5,000 from Reebok, and Tony jumped down my throat about Reebok. No, don't blame Reebok. No, we blame Reebok. It's actually money that Reebok allocated, and they allowed the UFC to allocate that money as they saw fit. And I'm going out on a tangent now, so Rodney, stop me and start speaking, please.
Oh, no, man, I'm just listening. I mean, I'm with you, man. I know that, and you know, I was talking to you just at the top of this conversation about how, you know, Tim Kennedy's one of those guys who's real outspoken, and you know, fighter pay was one of their, it was one of the first things that caused, you know, sort of a, actually he publicly he talked about this, you know, he got a just a full blown ass chewing, he got screamed at by Dana White, you know, backstage in front of a lot of people for complaining. Sure. And you know, I mean, what are you gonna do? How are you gonna scare and intimidate a fucking Green Beret sniper who happens to be a cage warrior? Yeah, come on.
Right.
But it's so true, man. And you know, I heard Dana White. I was listening to the Matt Serra, Jim Norton podcast, which I enjoy.
Sure.
You know, they've got the UFC. It's a brand thing. You know, it's not an offshoot.
Yes.
It's UFC endorsed.
Promoted
Dana
by
White
the UFC.
Was on there. Yeah, he was on there as a guest and in studio guest on the last episode. And, you know, one of the things he talks about is, and I agree with him to an extent, you know, he's talking about all the MMA media guys who criticize, you know, the way that they run business. And he's like, they, you know, this has never been done before. They don't know anything about running business. They need to shut the fuck up and just talk about fights and fighters. And, well, yes, we don't know how to run the business, and nobody knows how to really do the job, because there's never been a Dana White before. There's never been, like he said, anything like the UFC. But we also are grown-ass men that understand the difference between chicken shit, chicken salad. You understand what I'm saying? And when you're raking in, I mean, God, look at the prices they charge. Do the math, man. Think about Madison Square Garden. It costs $1,600 to be cage side, and then you look at all those seats in the house, and the money they don't disclose, you know, because they do disclose a lot of the, you know, figures, but the pay-per-view numbers, that's big money, man. And it's kind of an awkward sort of pyramid scheme. So there's got to be something done about it. The pay is just unacceptable, because they're hoarding wealth. They're taking too much money in, and they're not distributing it, you know. And yeah, sure, that's their right. That's capitalism. That's business. But it's also kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it's not their right. Yeah, Showtime, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'll agree, man. You basically have guys like Conor and Ronda and some of the, you know, top fighters eating filet mignon, and you got, you know, other people eating ramen noodles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
My thing is, you know, if there was a union, there should be a minimum of what a fighter can make to get in that cage. You know, for a guy to get in that cage, man, and get paid three grand or 25 to show, 25 to win. Come on, man. That's freaking nuts, man. I just think they need to find a way of splitting that pie up. You can't just let, you know, Conor get most of the pie. You know, if you're making it into a grid, and you know, you're looking at how much money Conor's making and how much money some of these other guys make. Still, it has to be a better way to do it. And the Reebok deal is putting some fighters, for, you know, the people that could go out and hustle up for that. You know, I was listening to some
Showtime. Showtime, you're breaking up, brother. I'm sorry, but Showtime, you're breaking up. We really want to hear what you're saying. So are you on the move again, brother? Yeah, okay. I'm going to put you on mute for a minute, Showtime, and then we'll get back to you in a second. So, Rodney, let's go ahead and jump into Jeremy Stephens and how he got embarrassed at this press conference.
Okay.
He did. He did get embarrassed. But, I mean, he spoke out. It's true, but he did get embarrassed, right?
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's a really good fighter. He's good. He's good at what he does. He's just, he's not a talker. He's not much of a talker. And the worst part about it too was that it was not graceful at all. You know, when he got on the mic, he kind of stumbled through some of his words. And the greatest part about it is the fallout and the backlash and the fucking. And the memes and the gifs that started floating. There's a guy, he's a writer. I just recently started following Mike Dice on, and he's at Mike D-Y-C-E. And he put out this, I think I retweeted it, man, if you check my feed from yesterday. But anyway, he put this video out, a gif, and then he was like, he was like, please, somebody create the Jordan crying face. And so somebody made one, but it's not the Jordan crying face. It's the John Jones crying face. And it makes it so much better, because it's got you can see Carolina's little pretty self right there. She's in the frame with just a big old freaking, you know, big old grin on her face because she's laughing so hard. It just adds insult to injury. And it makes it 100 times funnier. Oh my God. But yeah, man, it's like, and then the next day, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know if, you know, the UFC like put him up to it and thought it might help him save some face or whatever. I don't know why they would even give a shit. I mean, it's actually more beneficial for them just to have the buzz around it generated. But it was on the official UFC feed. I saw it on my Facebook. There's a little video blog, you know. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see it? Jeremy Stephens was saying, telling his side of the story, how he went and confronted Conor backstage. It's like, what are you doing, you meathead? This is not the streets. Like, this is a sport. Like you got shamed publicly. If you're ever going to confront Conor, it's going to be in the cage. But guess what? You got a freaking murderer's row in front of you before that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, it was kind of embarrassing, as you said. Showtime, how you doing? You got a comment on how Jeremy Stephens got punked?
I mean, thing is, anybody that says anything to Conor's going to bring up money. You know, that's why I said Conor's like he made the Floyd Mayweather of MMA, because that's his go-to move, you know. Say something about money, call you broke, call you whatever, you know. But Jeremy Stephens, he just trying to make a little noise. I'm glad that he said something. That just made the press conference, the part that I saw, a little bit more exciting, you know. And Conor's like, who the fuck is this guy? And all that, you know, everybody kind of laughed. You know, everybody just laughed. And but you have people now probably wondering, you know, for instance, the person that's not a junkie like us that really knows who the fighters are, they may be wondering, who is this Jeremy Stephens guy? You know, who is this guy? You know? But I also saw the little post he made when he said Conor was a coward when he confronted him, you know, off camera and all that. But it was interesting, though. It was interesting. I think that's going to be a good fight, you know. With us saying that Conor's not defending his belt, there's a lot of guys in that division that would be interesting fights if Conor didn't even fight them. If he didn't fight Jose, if he had to fight some of these other guys. Because one thing about it, styles make fights, you know, when it comes to that. Styles make fights.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that fight between Stephens and Conor is hashtag would watch. And that's all that we have to say about that. So let's move on to JJ versus KK. And I'm sure Tony's probably going to edit that out because he hates it. But like you were saying, Showtime, earlier, you expected more heat between Joanna and Carolina. But like you said, they're both, country mates. And, maybe they were just trying to stay a little bit reserved. I don't know. But JJ or Joanna was saying that they filmed a commercial together not long ago for Polish TV. And what stood out to me in the press conference is that Joanna said this fight was supposed to happen in Poland. And she said, but we're going to do it here. So maybe everybody makes more money, three title fights, but like you said, Showtime, there was no real heat between the two of them. So let's get you to comment.
Yeah, I can see her saying that would have been a good main event for for a Polish card. But with the money, it was too much money for them not to, take that fight. But it's a big Polish, it's a lot of Polish people in that, in the East Coast and the New York, Boston area. Right. As well as it is Irish people there. So this is going to be an interesting fight, man. I still think right now Joanna is just so far ahead of everybody with on her game. You know, when she's on top of her game, she's hard to beat. I think the people that had the best chance of beating her was the Brazilian wrestlers, the people that could take her down and do all that. But I don't see her losing a stand-up fight like this, even though I like Carolina. I mean, Carolina, she's game. I love her.
Absolutely.
Seems like she's a sweetheart. And that may be one reason why Joanna just didn't, really go at her. Because you don't have respect for people, Even though you about to fight them, you still got respect for them. So I think that was the whole thing. It was just a matter of respect.
Rodney, you want to comment?
You know what? I didn't really think about it at the time.
Yeah.
But I do have a little bit of insight from that podcast that I was just telling you about that I listened to with Dana White.
Yep.
And so now that I've heard that, I listened to that on my way up to Austin, actually. And now that I've heard that, it does make a little more sense. The other thing, too, is I was thinking about this. They didn't really get called upon either, too. I mean, the majority of the
questions
got fueled to Connor, you know, and the girls, and even Frankie Edgar, you know, I was kind of bummed out. I think he got like one question. But Dana White was saying, because Carolina just kind of came out of nowhere into the UFC. I just remember, you know, seeing her just kind of pop up on social media and going like, who's this chick? You know, yeah, I'm interested because, you know, of course she's very beautiful. So that, I mean, any guy that's going to automatically you know, intrigue you right away. So then you start looking like, oh shit, this girl's undefeated, you know? And then she comes out and wasn't the prettiest fight, but then again, you know, Octagon Shock, you know, as they say, kind of affects people sometimes in that way.
Yep.
So her fight against Rose wasn't the prettiest fight, but she did, you know, beat a really tough gal in Rose Namajunas. Now, here's what Dana White said on the podcast. So he said the reason that they brought her in the UFC, and he said, he swore to this. He said that being that they're both from Poland, Joanna Champion was telling Dana White, she was like, there's this girl over in Poland.
Yeah.
And everybody in Poland thinks that she's the best in the world because, you know, like Joanna got famous, like she made a name for herself when she got to the States. And so they don't really know about her as much. And she was like, and this is what Dana White said. He said, Joanna looked at him with a straight face. And he was like, I swear to God, she looked at me and said, get that bitch over here. I'm going to beat her ass. And I'm going to show the Polish people that I'm the fucking best Polish fighter at 115 pounds, or it's 115, right? Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I don't know, man. Maybe there is some animosity there. I don't know. Carolina just doesn't seem like the type that really has it in her, though. You know, she just seems like a little sweetheart, you know. But Joanna, she's a sweetheart in her own right. But at the same time, man, she's vicious too. When she gets that, I think it's going to be a murder. Honestly, I think she's going to get in there. It's going to be, she's going to destroy that girl. That's just my feeling.
Well,
that's my hunch.
You know what's funny is that Carolina has beaten Joanna in Thai boxing. I believe it's Thai boxing more than once.
What was it? They had an amateur fight. I don't know about Ty. Yeah, I saw some footage on it actually. Yeah, did they show that before the presser?
No, I don't know if they showed it, but I've heard that in the past that Carolina has a couple of wins, maybe definitely one, but maybe two over Joanna. So I guess that's maybe where that animosity comes from. But guys. Let's kind of transition if we can. I mean, it's been over an hour of talking here. So we've talked about 205. We talked about Tim Kennedy, but Showtime, we didn't get you to weigh in about Tim Kennedy coming back after this layoff. So maybe we can get you to weigh in because Rodney's putting out a good piece about Tim Kennedy coming up on MMA Latest. So what do you think about Tim Kennedy coming back? And what do you think about Rashad dropping down in weight?
You know what? I was excited. I follow him on social media. This has been a minute ago before Tim had a fight.
Yeah.
And I think he was talking about the show that I heard you guys talking about earlier. Too.
Correct.
He was talking about
Hunting Hitler.
With him getting, but then also he was talking about him getting the death threats and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. I think it's good.
Yep.
I think this would be a good fight. I think it was a smart move for Rashad to drop down because I saw him, I think it was last year. I was somewhere and I saw Rashad and I was just surprised. I thought he was a little bit bigger, you know, than what he was. And I think, you know, he would always feel smaller. smaller guy, you know, when he fight. And I think, you know, he may be the bigger guy, or at least as big as the guy that he's fighting now. I think isn't Kennedy a favorite in this? I think I was looking at the odds or something. Saw that I think that Kennedy was a favorite, slight favorite in this fight. I think it'll be a good fight.
I hadn't looked at it. If I had to guess, I would think so though. Yeah, because Rashad, I mean, you know, he's gonna have to get back to the win column, you know, to reinvent himself at this point, man. Because he's had a bad run of things lately.
Yeah, he has.
I'm
looking, you know, with his.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he's on a skid, and I'm thinking this was, you know, pretty much a last ditch move for him to, you know, stay relevant, you know, or get out the game, because you know right now I think Rashad is pretty well to do. He's not fighting, I don't think, because he needs the money right now. Because I was looking, he's made quite a bit of money. I think he's just trying to be relevant again. So. You got a guy like Rashad with his back against the wall. Then you have a guy like Tim that hadn't been, you know, in the octagon in a while. So it should be a very, very interesting fight. Very interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And like you were saying, I was excited as well. I'm going to try and wrap up the show, but I want to talk about a couple of things from last week, if you don't mind, from the last weekend's Fight Night event. We had a couple of stories come out of that, one being Cyborg and her destruction of Lena Landsberg. But guys, and Rodney, let's start with you. What are we doing with Cyborg? I don't understand what the UFC's end goal is. And I said in the beginning, or in my prologue of the show, that maybe if we're building to a fight with Ronda Rousey at the New Year's Eve show at 140, it makes sense. But if we're not going to do that, this experiment with Cyborg really doesn't make sense. Rodney?
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing either, but we got to do something. You know, we got to do something,
right?
Because the fans want it. You know, the fans want to see her fight, and who can blame any of us? I mean, to see someone that's just so incredible at what they do and so dominant and just pure destruction lays in her wake every time. And you know what? I think we have to be building towards that. You know, Dana White recently said, it's been put out publicly now for almost a week or about a week, something like that, that, you know, he's spoken with Ronda and she's very, very much wants that fight, which I don't see that as being the smartest move for her. And they originally talked about her coming back and getting an immediate title shot against Amanda Nunes. So I don't know how much, you know, who knows with Ronda, who really knows what's going on. But I'll tell you this, you know, it would be nice to have a 145-pound women's division and where Cyborg could reign. But again, also to credit Dana White for this quote, which he said on the same, you know, UFC Unfiltered podcast, he said, and I agree with him. I do. I agree. I mean, he said, look, there's not enough girls. There's not enough of them to make that division.
That's
where do you find them? I mean, they just don't exist.
Yeah, no, I agree. But the alternate argument is, well, if you open up 145, they will come. Showtime, what do you say?
I say that we do the same thing like they do with the Ultimate Fighter, kind of like how they're doing for Mighty Mouse. You just go around the world and you find these girls. You can find them, but I don't think it's a priority. See, this is the thing about it. If Cyborg was as attractive as a Ronda Rousey, or, you know, just like we talked about Carolina being a very attractive lady, you know, if you had one of those girls at 145, they would make it happen. You know, pretty much I see this almost as a slap. It's how they treat Jose Aldo. Pretty much the same thing. I don't, you know, Cyborg is the best women's fighter in the world. Not even close right now. And I don't think Ronda may just be talking.
But Ronda don't, she don't want none of that right now. She better get her one of those girls, you know, maybe from 6 to 10 and beat up on them and get her confidence back before she starts talking about Cyborg.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I don't know. We have not heard anything from Ronda. I mean, Tony sent something out the other day on our site that she's thinking about coming back, but that doesn't mean anything, right? It just, that's just you saying stuff, and I don't know if I buy into it. But again, that would be the only fight that would be any reason for this whole experiment. She's not getting down to 135. She's just not. So let's stop dreaming that up. Let's either send her back to Invicta to defend her belt against relative nobodies, which she's doing right now. She's in the UFC fighting people who the UFC is bringing in to fight her, who are cans. I mean, she's just Fedor right now. In my opinion, she's just Fedor. We're just padding her record, and I don't think that she deserves that. So let's move on to Roy Nelson, and he was big news after Saturday's fight event, touching the referee and not being sorry for it at all. So Rodney, let's get your view, because I think that what he's saying has merit, but I think how he went about it does not.
Rodney? You mean what Roy said? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, man, and what he did.
Yeah. That's a no-go, man. That's a big time. I mean, that's just one of those things. That's like putting your hands on a fan or a judge or anything. It's just, you just don't do it, man. Like, you get in there and you fight with another fighter, but you can't cross that line.
Yeah.
Otherwise, to do so, it just completely cheapens the entire sport. And the fact that he's okay with it, he doesn't have any remorse. Supposedly, I don't know if this is true. I thought I heard that they said that it wasn't going to be, that they weren't going to take any action. The commission wasn't going to take any action against him. So I don't know.
The same thing.
I don't think the UFC is able to, but I don't know. It definitely doesn't win him any favors with Dana, which, you know, those two have never gotten along from day one, you know.
Correct.
There's a legitimate disconnect there between them. And, you know, I think it just comes down to how socially awkward that Roy Nelson is, but at the same time, they just can't deny how big of a draw that he is, how much people love him. But yeah, Dana, you know, you probably saw the articles that came out on that too. You know, he said he hopes that they, you know, that the commission hammers him and comes down hard on him. But I just I think if they were going to, they would have said something about it already. I think I think it was announced that they weren't going to take any action. Just like with
nonetheless.
Just like
nonetheless,
with,
Big John
kicking,
said something. Edmund. Right.
I haven't heard anything from him.
Yeah, that's the last thing I heard, that unless Big John files a complaint, they're not going to do anything. And then I heard something else. Anyways, let's get Showtime to weigh in. Showtime?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. That was a big, big no-no. But I think Roy may get the benefit of the doubt on the punishment.
Yeah.
I guess maybe if he had been a guy that had a whole bunch of other issues, they would hammer him a lot, you know, a lot more. But by him being a fan favorite, and that still doesn't make it right what he did. You know, if he felt that way, he just should have turned his back and walked away and maybe threw his hands up in protest of that the guy is hurt, you know, instead of, you know, hitting the ref. Because regardless, it doesn't matter who you are. If you do that in the NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball, it's going to be a big fine and a suspension. So I'm still looking at him getting some kind of fine. You know, I'm not – I don't know about a suspension and all that, but he's going to get fined something. I don't think he's just going to get away scot-free on that.
And this is the thing, guys. This is the thing. Let's just talk about it for a second. There's no way for the UFC to go, well, you know, this is what our standards are. This is our regulations. There are no regulations. It depends on who you are. It depends on what kind of stature you have in the business, whether or not you get punished, whether or not you get released and banned from the UFC, or if you're Roy Nelson and you're in the heavyweight division where, you know, the talent level is very low and we need you and we don't want you going to Bellator or to Ryzen or to anywhere else. Am I correct, Rodney? I mean, that's basically what it is. They're going to hold on to Roy Nelson so that he doesn't go elsewhere.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, when I read Dana's comments, yeah, that was the first thought that went through my head. I was like, oh, you know what? I don't know how many fights he's got left on his contract, man. But if you know, if they let him go, hey, you know, welcome another superstar that still has some gas in the tank to Bellator, because he could definitely work out there, especially with because they, you know, they're doing the cross promotion with Ryzen, man. So he could potentially fight Fedor. So it's almost like you look at what he's done in the UFC and his potential to fight for the title. Hell, it almost makes more sense for him to leave the UFC and go to Bellator any damn way.
I agree. Absolutely. Showtime? Last comment?
Man, that made a whole lot of sense. Man, that made a whole lot of sense what you just said. He would be a much bigger star in Bellator. Just think, man, the big belly guy with the beard that'll knock your ass out.
Yeah, because he's just not
okay,
beating any top 10 guys anymore.
No, he's not. That's true. He's not beating anybody of significance, but, you know, he's a big name. And I think maybe if he goes over to Bellator and gets that Viacom money, maybe he can get that Burger King sponsorship he's been coveting for a couple of years and grow that belly a little bit larger. Yeah. Okay, guys, I'm going to get you guys out on this. Okay, because I want to end the podcast soon, and we've kept Rodney way longer than we had promised him. We have a card coming up on Saturday. I just want to touch on. No, I'm not blaming it. I'm blaming it on me because I'm keeping it.
I'm messing with you.
So I want to get the two top fights, guys. We've got John Lineker and John Dodson versus Will Brooks and Alex Oliveira, the cowboy, the Brazilian cowboy. Rodney, let's get you out on this. Let's get you to give us the two picks on that fight. Give us your Twitter follow, or give us your Twitter, and tell us where you can get we can get your new article coming out, and we'll get you out on that, and we'll let you go after you pick.
Cool, man. Yeah. Hit me up on at RodneyJames138, whether it's Twitter, Xbox, YouTube. The only thing that's different is my Instagram. My Instagram got hacked, full name, at Rodney James Edgar. And, of course, at MMA Latest News, and we're at MMA Latest NWS on Twitter. And if you go to the App Store, just search for MMA Latest News. Now, on those fights, Dodson, man. This guy, great move for him to this division. It's baffled me why he's ranked as low in the division as he is. I don't know where he sits now, but they put him in there initially at sort of the bottom of the division, and I think he belongs towards the top, and I think he's about to get this win and make it there. Now, the other fight, I don't understand why you take a guy like Will Brooks, who is, so reputable and just has such a great resume coming from Bellator, and put him in there.
Being
not,
the champ.
Not to knock Oliveira, the cowboy Oliveira, but I just think, Ross Pearson was a good entry-level fight for him in the UFC. He more than proved himself, but I think, why do you just go right on into the top 10? Why even bother with this fight? But who knows? I mean, if Oliveira wins, of course, I'm eating crow, but I don't know. I don't see it. So he's dropping back down to, or he's dropping down to lightweight. Okay, he hadn't fought at lightweight in 2 years. So, yeah, Oliveira, that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Rodney, I'm going to let you go. You've had a long day, and it sounds like you've got some editing ahead of you. So, Rodney, I thank you very much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You're very knowledgeable, and I appreciate speaking with you. Again, guys, follow Rodney at RodneyJames138. And, of course, his new stuff is going to be coming out on MMA Latest, which is at MMA Latest NWS. Thank you, Rodney. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man. Always. Take care.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Okay, showtime. Last thing I'm going to ask of you as well, and I know you were very hesitant earlier on when I was talking about this, but I just want to get you to weigh in on the main event and the co-main event. So let's start with John Lineker versus John Dotson. What do you got?
I got Dotson. I think he's going to basically show a vast amount of skills and, you know, wrestling with being able to strike, being able to be so quick. And I think he'll win that fight, you know, probably by decision. I think it'll probably be a decision by Dotson. And in the co-main, I like Ill Will. I think he's just...
Yeah,
too
okay.
consistent, you know, too powerful.
Yep. I think I agree with you with Will, and especially like Rodney said, Alex dropping down to 55 for this fight probably not bode well for him. I mean, the last time we saw him, he was fighting Cowboy Cerrone at 170, and he got his ass kicked on that one. And in the main card. Dude, I don't know, man. It's a tight one between two guys who are going to go out there and just fucking drop it down, right? They're going to go to the middle and they're going to fucking swing at each other, right? Showtime. These two guys have the potential for fight of the night for sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I want to make this one comment about the main event. I just think with Lineker throwing so much power with everything he throws, I think that's going to open up Dotson with that speed. Because other than Mighty Mouse, he's the fastest. You know, the other guy is just amazing speed. I think he'll be able to take in, you know, get takedowns and get a bunch of other stuff because Lineker loads up so much with all his punches. Everything is meant to take you out.
Yeah, absolutely. He throws everything with bad intentions. Okay, brother, I'm going to let you get back to resting as well because I know you're not feeling very well tonight, and I thank you very much for adding to my show. You guys, you know what, guys? You, Showtime, and Dean from Georgia, and Rodney, I really appreciate you guys because this is just a conversation between guys who like MMA, and we're just recording it and putting it out on the internet, and hopefully people are listening, and I appreciate having you guys here to talk to MMA about because really in my own personal life, and we've talked about this before on the show, you know, I don't really have anybody besides MMA Junkie to talk to about, and I only get like 5 minutes and then Marco complains about me going too long. So I appreciate you guys coming on and talking with me about this stuff. Okay, guys. And you know, we're all junkies. We're not all junkies, but you know, the junkie motto is prevalent with this show, and we really want to have new people come in and be able to talk MMA, and I appreciate it, Showtime. Thank you very much for your time. That's a long way of me kissing your ass, so thank you very much. You got anything to say on the way out?
Thank you, brother, and you know, Junkie Nation, rise up, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. Thanks, Showtime.
You're welcome, brother.
Good night.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to go ahead and run this as my intro, outro song. And so, that's right. So on the way out, I want to go ahead and thank Rodney James for joining me tonight. And make sure you check out his coverage because
it looks like he got some serious stuff going on with Tim Kennedy today. And if you noticed, if you listened to the show, he was talking about some new technology that's coming out that Tim Kennedy was testing out. That sounds pretty interesting to me, guys. And go ahead and follow Rodney James at RodneyJames138. And, of course, we've mentioned it before on the show already. He's at a writer for MMA Latest. That's at MMA Latest NWS. And, guys, don't forget about our show coming up on Sunday, as we always do. Another MMA podcast brought to you by DJ Tony and myself. Guests to follow, I believe. I'm not sure if we know who's on the show for Sunday, but you know what, guys? We always have to provide the comment content for you. We had Sam All Jam. Hopefully, we'll have Sam All Jam again this weekend. I know that Larone is not available, I don't think, for this weekend. But guys, thanks very much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed yourselves. I know I did. And guess what?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Good night, everybody. Peace.